The year is 2011. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is underway. DC is still riding high from The Dark Knight and planning the cinematic return of Superman. How will Sony compete? With a newspaper man from the 1930s, The Green Hornet was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Hello, my name's Sean Collier, and I'm here with two identical zebras. It's Camila Adams.
Hello.
And Robin Hitchcock.
Hi.
Yeah, Madagascar, Escape to Africa, 39 and a third. That's 27 spots from the bottom. It is also our second lowest family film. Ahead of only TMNT.
Which I really liked.
I guess that's Tony's segue connection, is that later this summer is the new animated Ninja Turtles, which
right.
is
a Seth, one?
Which is a Seth Rogen project, and everyone's saying, like, this is, they finally got it right.
Yeah, it looks,
come on, guys, we promise.
It looks cute. I hope it's good.
So wait, it's animated or it's not?
It's animated, and it's like off-the-wall kind of style animation, like reminiscent of the Spider-Verse movies.
Oh. I don't know.
Going in with an open heart and an open mind.
Yeah, I mean, I will. I just realized that the second Spider-Verse is going to be out
like next week. Or
yeah,
something? I'm not. Oh my gosh, I'm not ready.
I'll be seeing it Thursday afternoon.
I'm excited for it.
I don't know why I watch clearly a very wacky and very like multiverse cool. What's gonna happen? Trailer, and I'm like, am I gonna cry? Like, it's not an outwardly emotional thing, but I just feel like something's gonna happen.
Listen, if you're going into infinite universes, one of them is gonna be very sad, at least.
Right.
There's gonna be several weepy universes in there. Notice how I mentioned Madagascar 2, and we briefly talked about the Ninja Turtles and then Spider-Man, because even when you're talking about Madagascar,
There's nothing to talk about.
Nothing to say. So instead, the Green Hornet. Here we are.
Oh boy. I thought that I had a memory of watching this movie.
Me too. I mean, I know I've watched it.
Right, but like in my mind, like I had watched it like at my mom's house or something.
Okay.
But the timeline doesn't add up.
Oh,
like
okay.
It's like it came out January of 2011, and like in my mind, this happened before I met Dan. So like,
oh sure.
Yeah. So no, this I don't know. And I have no memory of what was happening. So I don't know what I thought I watched.
I know I watched it like early-ish in the pandemic because it was truly a this is on
right.
kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I clearly wasn't paying attention. It was a struggle to pay attention this time.
Yeah.
And I had to.
Right.
So, yeah, not a good movie.
See I'm going to skip all the way ahead to this week's Letterboxd list because it gets just at what you're talking about. The list is fake movies. With the description, I've seen some of these movies and I'm still not convinced they actually exist. These are fake movies designed to gaslight us into thinking they're real. Long list, also including The Monuments Men.
Yes.
The Mummy with Tom Cruise. Chappie, Victor Frankenstein, Hidalgo.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I remember some of those.
I recognize them as the names of movies.
Right, yes. Exactly.
This is my key question. Maybe am I stalling for
Why?
Time?
Why does this exist? That's my question.
Yeah.
As I stall for time before the recap, I forgot to write. I am not on my A game today, everybody. Mm-hmm. I'm 20 minutes late because of a Taco Bell mishap. I don't have... It was the holiday weekend...
Right. We're on the Tuesday, Monday after Memorial Day. It's always a rough
Things
one.
Things are weird.
Yeah. But yeah, why? And the Faxi segment will get into this a little bit, but what possible reason do we have for this character, who is almost exclusively a radio drama figure from the 40s, just rolling on into the 21st century?
I have zero idea. Like, did the property come into public domain?
I don't think so.
Because I don't still understand, like, what the Green Hornet's purpose was. Because it seems to me Kato was the real superhero.
That is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we are meant to think, isn't that funny? Except for this movie really doesn't deal with that in any meaningful way.
No.
Like, and it seems like the perfect opportunity to.
They have
right?
a spat for a minute, yeah. but it doesn't really play into
right.
what happens.
Like, why not make the movie Kato and the Green Hornet and
right.
make the movie actually about Kato?
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I was really here for that actor, Jay...
Chow. We looked it up. We looked it up and we already are like, wait, what? It's
yeah.
Jay Chow.
Jay Chow.
And also, isn't he like insanely famous?
Yeah, he's...
I think he's like a singer, Taiwanese singer-songwriter.
His song over the credits kind of rules.
Oh, that was him?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I think he might actually be a good pop star. I kind of want to look into this. But yeah. like, my understanding is that he was like the most famous person in China. And they were like, aha, this is where the money is, right? Or am I making this up? Am I conflating this with something else?
No, they did make more money overseas than they did here.
Okay.
So that stands to reason.
Okay.
Okay.
And I did look at his IMDb and the other credits were films from other places.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And like any other thing, it was like he had a song on this in this movie.
Right.
Like there was a lot of that. And also Seth Rogen. Really?
I find Seth Rogen very charming. I don't think he is essential.
I also like him. I think he's funny. I think his deadpan is very funny.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's carrying a project.
Right.
Yeah.
Particularly like, in like a normal hero role. I'm like,
exactly.
That's not the you.
Right. This is not your arena, sir. And yeah. it's also, it's just like, I like him in here and there sprinkled about, but it's like he, the way he speaks, it's like he has dip in his lip.
He does. Mm. Permanently.
And that just like really distracts
yes.
me all, and I just don't like, seriously, like, okay, we got a superhero movie, Green Hornet, who are we gonna get? Seth Rogen? Yes.
And did he write it?
Yeah.
Was this like something did he love the TV show as a kid and decided this is my time?
We'll get to some of that.
Okay.
Sorta. Someone tell me go and I'll see if I remember what happened in this movie I watched 2 days ago.
Go.
Seth Rogen plays the Green Hornet, who is a playboy son of a newspaper magnate played by Tom Wilkinson. He's a fuck up. His dad is like, what are you doing with your life? Then, whoops, his dad is killed in an apparent random bee sting incident. Somewhere in there, Seth Rogen realizes that the guy who makes his coffee, Kato, also makes all kind of gadgets. For reasons that are never fully... Same time, there's Christoph Waltz. He's the kingpin. He's, you know, ruling the city with an iron fist. Somehow, Seth Rogen decides he needs to be a vigilante because that's what his father would have wanted, and tries to pose as a bad guy for the media. It's Spider-Man without any motivation. Hijinks ensue. They make Christoph Waltz mad. He keeps trying to kill them. He fails. They kill Christoph Waltz. They pull some shenanigans at the end to keep Seth Rogen's cover. Cameron Diaz is there.
A few seconds over. Yeah. Yes.
That whole let's pretend to be bad guys, but we're really good guys. Like, I don't... was
They
why?
Don't meaningfully use that.
Right.
No.
The lines in the trailer...
So this is what you want out of your life.
I spend all night writing about the corruption of this town.
And you do nothing.
For today's top story, newspaper mogul James Reed was found dead, leaving his son in charge of his media empire.
Sorry to hear about your father.
Hey, Kato, you knew my dad pretty well, right?
Now that he's gone, I'm thinking I haven't done anything good my whole life.
Think about this, Kato.
We've been completely wasting our potential. This city needs our help. We could be heroes. Here's what will make us different. We will pose as villains to get close to the bad guys. That way, no one will suspect we're really the good guys.
I want you to take my hand, and I want you to come with me on this adventure.
I'll go with you, but I don't want to touch you.
Okay, you don't have to take my hand, but will you come with me on this adventure?
Okay.
Yes.
What do we call him?
The Green Hornet.
I'm Lenore Case. I'm the new secretary.
Perfect.
I want the head of the Green Hornet, and I want it tonight.
You know who you are? You're a human Swiss Army knife. Just when you think there couldn't be any more cool things, a new thing comes out.
What's this?
Is it gas gun?
A gas gun?
How does it even work?
Oh,
Red light, stop! Stop!
The camera got us. Can I shoot one?
The line is in the trailer. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is why the line exists. They right. don't actually spend time on that plot-wise.
No. Nothing happens in this movie that is related to the other things in this movie. It's kind of just
a series of sequences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Some of them are fun. There are moments of this film where I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like, Michel Gondry directed this, which is baffling.
The Eternal, the Spotless, blah, blah, blah. Right?
Yes, okay. Correct. And like, you know, when you think about it, I think that because people our age were so hepped up over Eternal Sunshine and Be Kind, Rewind. Like
that was the other one.
Yeah. I think that those people were very like, you know, this guy's a genius. But he was a commercial and music video director. Like, I think that maybe it is less weird than I think it is that he made this piece of commercial garbage. But he made this piece of commercial garbage. And I'm still kind of surprised. And he didn't. There's some like goofiness to the fight scenes that he brings that I'm like, at least that's there, mm-hmm. I guess is what I'm saying.
It's a weird tone. Like, the tone isn't very clear. Like, no. We're like bouncing back and forth a lot.
Am I meant to care at all about right. Seth Rogen's emotions? Because I don't.
And the whole, putting a pin in the Cameron Diaz conversation, her entire existence. So he likes her. She likes Kato a little bit. And then eventually we just drop that all together.
Yeah. Along with
anything for her to do in the movie other than like they go to her house for a minute when they need to lay low.
I think they want and I assume that that character exists in the serial and in the TV show.
Probably.
Because her name is Lenore, right? And that's not a name that you give a character in 2011 unless they got that name in 1930.
They probably had high hopes it was going to be a part two.
And exactly. Cameron Diaz deserves better. Even if you don't like Cameron Diaz, can't you agree? She's like an actual movie star and she's playing a goddamn secretary.
In 2011, sure. Absolutely. Sure. Like she was mm-hmm. Charlie's Angels already out?
That's 10 years after Charlie's Angels.
No, thank you.
This is like why she quit.
Don't bother her for this shit.
Right.
Yes.
And it was also like, so that was like what really pissed me off was like, I have a degree in criminology. I studied journalism. Great, you'll make the perfect secretary.
Listen, hey. I'm somebody who was a secretary when I had a law degree. That's a thing that happens in the world. But why is it happening here? Let her explain that for us.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, there wasn't a coming in like, you know, okay, you're hiring specifically for a secretarial position. You know I can do all this other stuff too. That's a bonus for you. But, you know, this is what I'm doing.
I need this job to pay the bills while I work part time in my community garden. Yeah, right.
Whatever,
like,
man.
Come on.
Just give me something else. But just because it just seemed like it was just like a weird trajectory for it to go. It's like, you know, why have her explain to us all of this other cool stuff that she knows?
Because they're trying to set her up as being like the other person on the team, which I guess they would have done in the sequel that they all thought that they were going to have.
The Pepper Potts.
Let's
rip off a thing that didn't work in the successful movie.
I mean, that is so much of this movie is like, what if Iron Man, but less good?
Yeah. And all that happens to that character is a string of sexual harassment.
Yes.
Followed by this business where they're like, is she old? Like, who wrote this? Seth Rogen. Why'd you write this, Seth Rogen? Here's what I can tell you, which is not that much because the internet is not exactly hurry to explore the background.
Like, you know what? It was a movie. It happened.
Like, really? We promise you this movie's real.
You can watch it right now.
But we have no further information.
It was released January 14th of 2011, right in that January dumping ground. The second number one movie of that year, winning its opening weekend with $33.5 million ahead of fellow debut The Dilemma with Vince Vaughn, Kevin James.
Oh, geez.
No memory of this.
I remember it happened, but I don't remember. I don't think I saw it.
I had only been reviewing movies for about a year and a half, and this was the time period where everything got a screening, as mm-hmm. opposed to now when nothing gets a screening. So I do remember going to a screening of The Green Hornet and going to a screening of The Dilemma the next night, and then having to, you know, pretend that there was anything to say about those movies. Another 1 week number one movie in America lost the top spot to No Strings Attached. Natalie
NSYNC.
Portman. Yeah. Natalie Portman at Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, right. The year we had two of those.
Yes.
And the other one was like Mila Kunis and
right,
Justin Timberlake.
Because Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher, even though that was their real life,
they split into different
right.
different to Friends with Benefits movies.
Yes.
That was close, though. It was 19.6 to 17.6. So it kind of almost was a two-week winner. 5 weeks in the top 10, made $98.7 million, 32nd highest grossing film of the year. Fine.
I'm shocked it made that much money, and that's not a lot of money.
No, but I mean, yeah, that it didn't. I mean, at that time, just everything like, that came out, people went to see.
Yeah, also, like, I mean, this is like Seth Rogen's heyday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we even threw what's his butt in there, Franco.
And this was a really big.
Oh, that's right.
This is a really big Oscar season for things that actually did okay. Like True Grit was in theaters right then. Right. Black Swan was in theaters right then. So this was probably pretty good kind of programming for the normies in January and February.
A little palate cleanse after the Black Swan.
Yeah. I saw Black Swan in a packed theater, and that ruled.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, it's a great film, but damn, it's bleak.
One of the most unexpected conversations I ever had with a drunk guy was, I think I was watching a Steelers playoff game at August Henry's on Penn Avenue, and, you know, one of those drunk guys that is just like, I'm in your life now, and just keeps talking to you. And eventually is like, what do you do? You know, and somehow it comes out that I'm a movie critic, blah, blah, blah. And he starts talking about Black Swan, which is not what you expect the drunk guy. And he just keeps repeating, no, she was the White Swan and she had to become the Black Swan.
He's right.
Yes, that's true. That's good analysis of the film. The character, you got it. Good job. The character of the Green Hornet was introduced as a radio drama in 1936, continuing with some breaks until 1952. That was successful. There were popular movie serials in 1940 and 1941.
Okay.
There was never a previous feature film. There were the serials, but this was the first.
See you next Wednesday.
Right. There was a one-season TV series, but it was a flop. So basically, the serials in 1940 and 42 and the radio drama are the only successful Green Hornet content.
Okay. When did the theme song come into the mix?
I think the radio, I think from the top.
Okay, great theme song.
Because it was tied to, this is in the Lone Ranger radio universe.
That's right,
so they put some oomph into the music.
Right.
Wait, is it like a spinoff of the Lone Ranger?
I don't think it's a spinoff, but they know each other and can cross over.
How?
You know.
Cowboys.
One of them takes a trip to the other place. There we go.
I think the Lone Ranger was set in the present.
Yeah.
It's just in the West.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure, though.
I mean, the present have no in idea. Question is 90 years ago, so it's hard to.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So what the hell happened? Why is this a thing?
Right.
So much time and effort went into developing this that at a certain point, it just had moved enough that it was going to happen.
The snowball had reached the size that you couldn't stop it.
Right.
There was, all right, well, let's get a release date.
The development for this movie began in 1992.
What?
Took nearly 20 years before made it to a movie theater.
Also, isn't that when they made The Shadow with Alec Baldwin? Like, shouldn't the Billy Zane, whatever Billy Zane, like, shouldn't they at that point been like, these radio serial movies?
The Phantom.
Yes. It's like, they clearly knew, like, this isn't working.
Right.
Neither of those movies were successful.
I feel like, because there wasn't really, you know, IP mining in the same way in the 70s or 80s. The Flintstones were back. The Addams Family was back.
Yeah.
This was the first time when we're like, can we do things from the old and make them the now?
Can we go even further back? Is that what they were doing?
Dick Tracy was the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think they were like looking for these properties that had name value with people who were 50 and just got them going.
Right.
At various points, Universal had it. Miramax had it. Columbia had it. Kevin Smith came very close to directing it for Miramax in 2004. That was
a much different movie.
Probably wouldn't have been halfway good.
I was thinking, I'm like, that sounds like it would have worked better.
Right, yeah.
I mean, not all the way.
Right, no, I wouldn't be wearing like the Green Hornet t-shirt.
No.
But,
and like, he would have been gross about it in several ways. Like, I'm sure this Lenore situation wouldn't be improved. And
right.
I don't trust him to be like, I understand how to handle how Kato is the one with real superpowers. But I think that he would at least acknowledge it in a way.
I'm sure there are 48 hours of podcasting where Kevin Smith talks about his vision for Green Hornet. Attached to star at one point, George Clooney, Greg Kinnear, Mark Wahlberg, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Well, we did start in 92.
Right.
Yes.
The first one was George Clooney. Yeah. When they announced it in 92, George Clooney was attached.
What was George Clooney doing in 1992?
ER?
That's before ER. Like, that was back when he was on the sitcom called E/R.
After Facts of Life.
Yeah, I guess so. That's surprising to me. Anyway.
As well as Jet Li, at one point, it was being built around Jet Li as Kato.
Right. That is the way that you make this movie.
So why is Michel Gondry there? He was the first attached director. He was attached in 1997 when this was really looking like
a
thing.
And he made features at that
point?
No,
it was going to be his feature debut. He was coming off of music videos and would move into movies with the Green Hornet. That, you know, went south. It went to Kevin Smith. It went to nobody. Eventually, Seth Rogen, I think, bought the rights as a producer. And somehow someone said, well, Michel Gondry already worked on it. Why not? And he kind of just wandered back in.
Good for him, I guess.
You know, I'm sure he made some money.
Yeah.
So I was told by my husband that
he's in the building.
That this is supposed to be Bruce Lee. Like Kato was supposed to be Bruce Lee.
Lee was Kato on TV.
Yes. Okay. Yes. This is true.
And
yes.
I did put on around 9 minutes of an episode of the TV show and immediately. I had about 9 minutes of being able to pay attention to it. It's very bad.
Right. And there's a cute little shout out to that when he's looking through Kato's sketchbook and there's a drawing of Bruce Lee.
Yes. Which I love how they're like, Kato can do.
Sorry. You're supposed to cut that out of the episode.
I don't know if I'm going to. It's very funny.
Was it an expression thing? Like I looked very serious and then...
What I was going to say is that Kato's endless list of abilities got kind of ridiculous.
And I am also a good brain surgery.
Right, exactly. Like, just relax about it. Although, when you ask, like, so what was he do? Why did he start making gadgets? I believe that the story they're telling us is that he was like, I am going to commit myself to making the perfect latte. And I am going to design a machine that will make the perfect latte. And then once he had achieved that goal, was like, well, I've learned how to make machines. So I might as well keep doing it. Because he was a mechanic. That's how he got involved in the first place.
Job security.
Yes.
That's basically it. It's hard out there.
But Tom Wilkinson was not in any way a crime fighter.
Well, he fought crime through the press.
Through the press.
Yes. And I think he thought crime was after him. I think maybe it was more
this
like
was a defense thing.
Yeah, I think. Or maybe just like.
No, I really think that Kato was just like, you know what would be fun? The Ben-Hur shit.
No, but he had all those guns. He already had like a secret gun wall, which you don't do unless there is at least some intention that we're fighting
that was
or doing crime.
I think he's those.
Yeah,
I thought that was the dad's.
And then also, why did the DA be sting him? Because I don't know if you got to this in your recap. It seem like it was a bee sting? Because
because
it's not a bee sting. Yeah, it was poison.
Yeah, because he's wanted to stop slanting the news for him.
The DA.
Oh, that's right.
The DA, David Harbour.
Which just shout out.
Yeah, yes. Hey, it's always nice to be like, oh, he did exist before. He was just always around.
When he popped up in Revolutionary Road, I was like, you were allowed in movies?
The DA is in bed with Christoph Waltz, who's the mob big
Kingpin,
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is Christoph Waltz's You Want an Oscar, Have a Studio Movie movie. This is not immediately. This is his next credit after Inglourious Bastards. Yeah.
The part where he's like, aren't you afraid of me? And James Franco's like, not really. I'm like, well, he's clearly not seen Inglourious Bastards.
He has not seen the film. Yeah. What was it that the DA is like secretly, and Tom Wilkinson is burying stories, but then he wouldn't anymore? So
that's what Camila was saying.
Like he got tired of it. He started to get a conscience.
Yeah.
And or I guess he also didn't like Christoph Waltz or something.
This Tom Wilkinson character, he's barely in the movie, but he's like looming large as the dead dad who gave this guy all of his problems. Right. But like, what does he stand for, right? Like, was he a truth teller, right? Like, because Camila and I, before Sean got here, while you were still at Taco Bell, we were talking about Succession. And I, like, very much watching this movie, I was like, oh, so Kendall Roy should have become a superhero and that would have solved his problems. But I thought of that because...
Which I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, oh my God. I mean, like, it could still happen.
Right.
Spinoff. But like, you know, watching this, you see this media mogul mean dad and you're, you think Logan Roy, right? Right. But like, but was he a bad guy? Like, was he evil or was he good? Yeah, or was is it his gun wall? There's so many questions left unanswered.
Right. Yeah. And yeah, that's just, there's a lot of question marks. And like, we don't know if he was truly evil, if he was just trying to get money, like if he's just money right. hungry.
He certainly had a lot of money. Right. I feel like owning a newspaper doesn't get you that kind of money anymore.
No. Particularly not like I'm a pillar of this town. Nobody cares.
Yeah.
And I don't know that anyone, I think in 2011 that was, everything about this is antiquated.
Yes.
To the point where who could the Green Hornet be? The only guy in town driving an 80-year-old car right? and wearing a derby hat with most of his face exposed? Like,
yeah, I don't.
Why?
It was really unclear to me. Like, is this supposed to be set in the present or in the past or what? Because why with a full-on record player in the car and a fax machine?
And the record player is in their ejector seat, too. Right.
Like, what are we doing? And sir, like, we had email. Like, I don't know. Why do we need a fax machine in the car?
Mm-hmm. What else before we... Oh, they were trying to get Nicolas Cage in the Christoph Waltz role.
That would have worked.
I would have liked that.
That would have worked.
But that would have worked a little bit better. But he didn't like the script. Think about
Nicolas
that.
Nicolas Cage.
Yes, that
and this
one.
This is Nicolas Cage in like in the deepest part of his, the IRS is coming for me. Right. I will take every job possible.
He told, exactly. He said like, there were disagreements between me and them about what the character should be.
Wait. That was a pretty good Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage yeah. turned down the script.
Part of that apparently, admittedly, part of that was that he inexplicably wanted to use a weird Jamaican accent.
Okay.
So what? He was trying to be like Gary Oldman in...
True Romance.
Yes. Like.
And then, this is one of those things that hits your brain and you're like, should I look into this? No. Apparently he got pissed off later at James Franco saying that James Franco's character in Spring Breakers was... the character he was presenting for the Green Hornet.
Why would anybody fight over that? Like, I don't, like, it's whose fault is it? It's not about yeah. Because that fucking movie.
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, my God.
And that makes me less interested in watching
it. Oh, yes, please. Just never, never waste the 2 hours.
The people who really like it, really like it.
I think, isn't it supposed to?
It's vibes. I mean, they're not vibes I like, but right. they're identifiable vibes.
Absolutely. Like, maybe I was already too old to watch yeah. that movie when it came out. Because I saw it in the theater. I don't know why. I don't know who I was with that made me go watch it in the theater. But I was already too old at that yeah. point.
I feel like it's A24. It has to be A24,
I think so.
Right? It's A24 when they figured out how to, you know, be cool, but without mm-hmm. the substance. Mm-hmm. It is all...
Right. Probably had hopes and dreams of kids. Like, that's what they thought they were doing.
There were plans for a sequel. This was not profitable enough to bother. It did make a decent amount of money, but the budget got really, really high. So the studio said, never mind, we're done there.
It's all those damn montages.
However, yeah. there is a reboot in development.
No! Why?
Confirmed last year to be directed by Lee Whannell. You know him as
yes,
the writer
my dude from Saw
of
and
Saw and
stuff.
Insidious.
Conjuring.
The last feature he directed was The Invisible Man with Elizabeth Moss.
That was good.
Yeah.
Which was great. What the fuck are you doing with the Green Hornet? Is the Green Hornet a demon? Other than that.
I'd watch that. But Lee, come on. I beg just, you. I beg of you, please don't do this.
It's really not.
We don't need it.
We
I would,
don't.
I'll watch Kato.
Right. But even then, I'm kind of like, we don't.
I just happened to listen to How Did This Get Made? Just did an episode on Fast and the Furious 1 in anticipation of their
yeah.
Fast X episode.
How did that get made? It got made because it rules. Point Break ruled.
Oh, no. They're slowly getting towards doing an episode for every Fast movie because
oh,
it's just so perfect for that show.
Yes, okay.
And had not done the first one. So they did it. Seth Rogen happened to be the guest. And I forget why... but he told an anecdote from The Green Hornet where he and Michelle Gondry were fighting with the producer over the fact that there was huge logic gaps in the film. And the producer shut everything down eventually by pounding on the table and said, there's cool and there's logic and cool always wins.
No, Michelle.
So that's why most of these things.
Always wins. This is what happens when you get a music video director sometimes.
No, that wasn't Michelle Gondry. That was whatever producer. Michelle Gondry and Seth Rogen kept saying, okay, can we make it so that you have this thing here, that this set piece that wouldn't happen because these characters, and they're like, cool always wins. Doesn't matter. It does. Let me tell you.
I subscribe to the rule of cool, and yet. The problem is, you must actually be cool.
Right.
And a record player in your ejector seat, I'm sorry, is just not cool.
It makes zero sense. It's silly.
It's not cool, it's right. Silly.
And it wasn't even like good enough. So like, yes. Not even like an enjoyable silly.
Right.
Like,
I wanted it to stay that they were like wacky, hapless superheroes.
Right.
And it kind of did. They never like really got working.
Right.
But this is, I say this about action movies a lot too. If you're a this is a comedy. If you're silly, what we don't need is 30 minutes at the end where you're in a serious, unfunny chase scene.
You're right.
Yeah.
This should have just been wacky from beginning to end, and that would have worked. Instead, it just kind of got... Not that it was that funny. There's moments where I laugh.
I laughed out loud like 3 times.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I said, this movie's not terrible. It's just completely pointless.
Yeah. Right. But even with the humor, for every... I'll blow this guy in any proportion I like. There's like 3 lines about balls.
Yeah.
Like they just, instead of saying this is the shit, he said this is the balls.
Yeah.
Which.
Who actually says that?
No one on earth.
Doesn't sound like like the original phrase is this is the shit. Shit is a bad thing. And yet it sounds cooler than balls in that sentence.
And balls are, you know, on balance, a good thing.
Just barely. I mean, neither of you are walking around.
No, I got to say, I'm real glad that this seems like a terrible design flaw in a human being.
Quite the burden to bear.
Michelle Gondry throws in like one magic realism sequence late. Where
are you talking about?
Where Seth Rogen is putting together what's going on while he's at the hibachi place with David Harbour.
Oh, well, because Kato can do that. They show Kato doing it a few times. And then it's like, oh, he's learned. Because I guess the whole thing is like this guy has no powers and neither does Batman. Like he's, you know, he's just Batman. Right, but then he hired out the legwork and the gadget building and the gadget execution and the being the world's greatest detective. So I feel like that sequence was them trying to be like, actually, this Green Hornet can be the world's greatest detective too, and therefore he's not completely pathetic. That's what that sequence meant in my brain.
I think he was just really good at remembering at that point. Yes. That's like a lot less detective skills. I'm like, you know what? I remember when this happened.
I also wanted his detective skills to be like, this DA character doesn't need to be in the film unless he's secretly a bad guy.
Right. It
was one of the genuine laughs where they're doing the like, time slows down while he connects the dots and it cuts back to David Harbour.
Yes.
I'm guessing by the fact that you've been staring silently for 5 minutes that you're putting things together. Okay.
That was good. And yeah. I don't know if this is a joke that they picked up from the old serials or anything, but I like how the Green Hornet will go like, this is dangerous. We're going really fast. Like all of his very literal comments. Yes. They made me chuckle.
Why was this enough of the era thing? I feel like this was dated by 2011. No one's likable in this movie. No. Not a single person.
Kato?
I mean,
he kind of is, but he's kind of just
He's so mysterious about why are you doing the things that you do? Why are you hanging out with this guy? Like, are you still getting paid?
That's what I just assumed that he was still being paid very handsomely. Okay.
If we understood any tiny piece of Kato's internal life, I would say he's an interesting character. Mm. That guy is, you know, handsome and charming enough. Right. But I don't think I wasn't like the undeniable star power of Jay Chou. Right. You know, like it's not quite there, but he's fine. You know,
I was surprised that I hadn't seen him in anything else.
I feel like he should have had a better crossover to the U.S.
Yeah.
Because he is handsome and charming.
Yeah.
I mean, this happens every 6 months. We're like, oh, this person who's the biggest star in blank is doing a Hollywood movie. And I feel like most of the time, because
pan out.
Americans have face blindness when it's not an American, they're just like, all right. Is there anything else to say? All I'll say is if you have an Android phone,
I do.
You should be doing a Google Opinion Rewards.
Yes, I do.
Once
especially if you have a podcast where you periodically have to rent a movie you don't want to watch.
About once a day, sometimes more than once a day, you'll get a little alert, and it will be like, were you at Wendy's yesterday? Did you use a debit card? Here's 10 cents. And eventually that's enough
to
rent a movie. Sometimes these are about YouTube videos. And so I got a thing yesterday that was like, did you watch all or part of this video on YouTube, The Green Hornet 2011? And then, which this is a question I'd never seen before. It's like, how fun was this video? Not fun, slightly fun, extremely fun. And I quickly clicked, not fun. This movie is not simply not fun.
Correct.
No. Yeah, that's the real bummer. It's like, I can forgive a lot of things if it's still fun, but... just basically sitting there waiting for the credits to roll, yep. Guys.
I give it anyone anything.
Let me just quickly check my notes. I was taking a lot of notes. I think in part to force myself to pay attention. It was my old like law school.
I was surprised to see Edward James Olmos.
Yeah,
me too. This guy. I do my deranged thing where I always have one hand counting the number of Oscar nominees and one hand counting the number of Oscar winners. This one has. Three nominees and a winner. That's like a lot for this kind of nonsense. I liked when the elevator cut the car in half.
That was good.
That's like worth 3 points of my score.
I liked it when Christoph Waltz just killed anyone wearing green. Just
yes.
In the hope.
I did like the them trapping them in the junkyard or wherever, and they buried the car. It's like, and that is how a plan is executed.
Yes.
That was a well done.
Edward Furlong showed up for a second. Yeah. That was nice. I like that they showed the one henchman having a funeral. That's usually overlooked.
Right.
Cameron,
the guy from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Cameron Diaz. I have no problem with her personally. She seems like a lovely person. I can name movies I like her in. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to go past being John Malkovich, but I bet I could come up with a second one if I tried really hard. And I do really like that she made enough money that she was like, I'm good.
Okay, but that's not just it, though. She also was like, they're not doing anything for me. And I feel like this is the perfect example of it, where she's like, there's no point in even trying to be an actress over 40. And that is bullshit. And like, I hope she enjoys her life making wine with Nicole Richie.
That's what she's doing.
Nicole Richie and her married a pair of twins who are in some band.
Okay.
And they have an organic wine brand. Or at least she does. Anyway, she is going to be in Trek 5. So even though her Wikipedia still says Cameron Diaz is a retired American actress, like she's coming out of retirement for at least one afternoon. But like, I love Cameron Diaz and I am super defensive of Cameron Diaz because so many people have your opinion, Sean, where you're like, listen, she is good at being John Malkovich and she's a nightmare everywhere else. And I feel like a lot of people, and Sean, I'm not saying you, except for I'm kind of saying you.
You're allowed.
Are like, she's a hot chick, and therefore I refuse to think that she has any actual talent or ability. And I'm like, but she does.
Well, let me defend my horniness here, I guess. Because I'm not into her.
Okay. No. And I'm not necessarily saying...
I can name plenty of people, like Elizabeth Debicki is a good example, where I'm so attracted to them that I swear they're the best actress in the world. Even though they're probably not.
I'm not saying that you think that she
is that
hot.
Does happen.
I'm saying she is a capital letters hot chick. Mm-hmm. It's like, this is that bitch from high school who had everything easy for her because she's hot.
Yeah.
This is my psychoanalysis of our entire generation.
I'm sure there's a lot of that going around. And I think the one I had to check myself with that on Anne Hathaway, because Anne Hathaway is a hot chick and a bit of an annoying personality.
She has the teacher's pet vibe
that I didn't like
about her.
That I started to hate her. And then I had to be like, no, wait, she's good. The fact that she's like, has a try hard vibe
does not.
Cameron Diaz is bad at acting.
I disagree.
I fundamentally disagree.
And I will say, first of all, she's got 4 Golden Globe nominations. but she is obviously, she's brilliant in being John Malkovich. I think she understood the assignment in Vanilla Sky. She's terrible in Gangs of New York, but everything is terrible in Gangs of New York. That's a bad movie. She is brilliant in The Holiday. She is brilliant in Her Shoes.
The Holiday is the worst.
Are you kidding me?
The Holiday is one of these movies. Look at Jude Law's face in The Holiday when he is desperately trying to find a scrap of human emotion in his scene partner. Everything she does is this broad, everything she does is like she's filming an old Navy commercial. It's big and broad and signifying, and there's no life underneath
it. I fundamentally disagree. I also think that in her garbagey movies like Charlie's Angels, mm-hmm. she is exactly what she needs to be. She is exact when she is the hot chick, she is the hot chick perfectly. Like, there's something about Mary. I have not revisited that movie because
she's better in that than a lot of things.
But she was the exact right person.
No, that's closer.
Right? Yeah. She's even in The Mask when she didn't know how to act yet, she does what she needs to do. Anyway, I'm a huge Cameron Diaz defender. Also, she's the first human being to have the Rachel haircut.
Mm, it should be the Cameron.
mm-hmm. So
I just think
tie that up.
You know what it is? It's like when there is a non-actor hosting SNL, she acts like Peyton Manning in an SNL sketch.
And I often talk about how the non-actor hosts of SNL are some of the best hosts ever. I don't know. I think Cameron Diaz is great. The end.
Camila, yeah. break the tie.
Okay, so I kind of agree with Sean because I have never, there's nothing I've seen Cameron Diaz in where I'm just like, yes, you are doing a great job. Like, but mm-hmm. also I kind of see it in the sense that she's probably right. Like that nobody is giving her the chance to like really show what she can do. If she can do something, I haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. And it could be just because that's just what her lot in life at that point in time. Like, it's not necessarily her fault that she's the quote unquote hot girl. And that's all she's been cast in for the most part. Yeah, I mean, I've never openly just been like, well, no, actually, yeah. When she showed up in this movie, I was like, Cameron Diaz is here.
She is bad in this movie because she has absolutely nothing to do.
So I think
But she never finds any foothold in the very little they give
her. You know, and I enjoyed her in Charlie's Angels and a couple other movies, but I just think that she's just never had the chance or the right opportunity, the right role to like really flex her wings.
Okay, I said break the tie and you said we were both right.
Yeah, I know.
It's almost like what my student said.
That's a little something called older sibling. Mm-hmm. That's the oldest daughter.
Well, that is the dynamic of this show. I never noticed.
Am I the middle child here, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Green Hornet, 32. Robin?
40.
42.
And I feel like I'm being extremely generous, but like again, at the end of the day, this movie is not bad. Mm-hmm. It just is devoid of good.
Yeah, like I was really here for Kato for more than anything.
Yeah.
So yeah, 42.
That's a 38. We're 1 week away from something happening. We decided if we had three bad reviews, sub 50 in a row, then we would get a little treat. Right. We didn't settle on what that would be, but
we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
To the bingo card. I got nothing.
Nothing.
I don't think so.
Did the electricity ever
No.
come? None of that was really? A train. Like this 30s ass movie.
Truly, never in my life would have expected it to take so long to see a movie with a train in
me
it.
Me neither. Like, come on. I swear, like the first half of our existence of the podcast, there was a train in every movie. Yeah.
I do want to thank you, though, Camila. Colin and I have been rewatching MasterChef, and I made a MasterChef bingo. And we have been having so much fun with that.
That's awesome.
So I highly recommend anyone who's binge watching anything that you're noticing the patterns, make yourself a little bingo card. Have some fun with
it. Yeah, it's a good time.
Robin, it's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. What besides MasterChef?
I went on a trip. I visited family in St. Louis, so I saw two movies on airplanes. Mm-hmm. I saw 80 for Brady, which is absolutely delightful.
I'm
and
sure.
I strongly dislike the NFL, Tom Brady, the Patriots, all of the above. There are obviously parts of the movie that are an advertisement for all of the above and don't work as well. Also, it's about the Super Bowl where the Patriots were down by a lot and then like had a ridiculous final quarter, which like I don't watch the Super Bowl. I kind of remember that happening, you know, the way that you kind of always know. But like, that's not a great movie plot. Right? Anyway, regardless, the real plot is four friends, like lifelong friends, are, this is a thing that they all bond over. And obviously, you know, it's Rita Moreno, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, and Sally Field. So like, you know, four of the greats, and it's fun to watch them together. Those actors all really like each other in real life. You know, it's that kind of fun, the kind of movie you want to hang out with. There's also a really fun running gag where Sally Field is like, I'm actually 75. Yeah. They keep being like, we're four 80-year-old women. Sally Field's like, no, I'm 75. And then when they have 80 for Brady jerseys, hers is 80 crossed out and she puts 70 above it. Anyway, that's absolutely a movie to watch on an airplane or watch with your mom. I recommend it, even if you don't like football. And I watched Magic Mike's Last Dance.
Oh, is this your first time?
Yes.
What did you think?
Okay. I didn't like it as much as I expected to. I very much enjoyed the first Magic Mike movie. I loved Magic Mike XXL
because
I was a human being.
Right.
And this one is it's a dip back. And then I found out at the end. And it's directed by Steven Soderbergh again. Yeah. And I know... I hate Steven Soderbergh for the rest of my life because he ruined the Oscars. Okay, I will never forgive you, Steven Soderbergh. So I know that I'm not a reliable source here, but I genuinely think that his direction is one of the worst things about the movie.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that made Magic Mike XXL work so well is that it treated the finale as a concert movie.
Yes.
Right? And this is now, like, they have Magic Mike shows,
yeah,
like,
Las Vegas,
in real life,
think.
Right? So
yeah.
A lot of this movie felt like an advertisement.
Thank you. That's exactly what I felt.
And then a bad advertisement.
Yeah.
Because, like... I love I don't really like concerts, and I do love concert movies. Mm. Like, if Steven Soderbergh could ever take his head out of his own ass and watch a concert movie, then he would know that you don't just put the camera in front of the stage,
right.
Which is what he does. And, like, the only sequence that he even kind of got away from that was the rain dance.
Which was beautiful.
Which was the best part of the dancing part.
Yeah.
Very hot.
So, anyway, a disappointing movie, and Steven Soderbergh, I still... hate you. But Salma Hayek Pinot, great. Mm-hmm. And her outfits.
My goodness.
So good.
Yeah.
And also, like, I wish that we spent more time on their love story because I did think they had good chemistry.
Yeah.
And I also I like May-December romances when the lady's older and she's not that much older than him. She's like, what, 15 years older than him? Regardless, she's hot. He's hot. Let's watch them fuck more.
Let's watch them be hot together.
I love when he starts testing her furniture to see if he can fuck her on it.
Why England, though? I haven't been to a lot of places in the world. England is the least sexy. Maybe Prague. Prague wasn't hot, but like...
I've never been to either of those places. I assume that they just... felt like it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it was one of those things. Like, we need to do it something like, because the first one is what?
Miami.
Miami. Mm-hmm. And then this other one, they're on the road trip.
Right.
And they're going to Miami again.
I can't, or California. No, or, I don't remember.
Just somewhere with a beach. And I hate the beach, but I'm like, but I want them on the beach.
It was a lot of gray and a lot of rain.
I think maybe that was the idea. It's like, oh, we're spicing up the least spicy place. Yeah. They're stuffy. The stuff with the bureaucrat, them seducing the bureaucrat, that was cute.
I like the thing.
No, I did
the
like it. I gave the movie a good review. I did like it.
I mean,
it's
I don't
odd,
think it's
I
bad.
It.
I just was disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's not what you go for to a Magic Mike.
Right.
Movie four.
And then the thing that was bad and disappointing was Ant-Man Quantumania, which is just a depressing piece of shit.
Oh, that sucks.
That's how I felt about Guardians. I mean, I think Ant-Man was a little better than Guardians, but...
I mean, I haven't watched Guardians. It's ugly. This is an ugly movie that is pretty much premised on being visually interesting.
Mm.
Like, they're really... They're like, we're going into a strange new world. Like, that's the kind of the point, right? Is showing off the strange new world.
Yeah.
And then it looks like actors in front of a TV screen because that's what it is.
That sucks.
And it's everything's dim. There's not a lot of dimension. And, like, the story, such as it is, I do not fucking care. Mm-hmm. I just don't care. Anyway, I'm really disappointed.
You still upset about MODOK?
A little bit. I mean, I don't... MODOK was never a thing that I had meaningful connection to. I was aware of MODOK because MODOK's existence is interesting.
Yeah.
But I think that it's okay to make MODOK a comic relief thing.
It's far enough.
Even though I did not find it comedic nor relief.
It's old. It's been out long enough now that I can say I like.
I haven't seen it yet.
Never mind.
Okay.
I liked the appearance by
Okay, sure.
Person you think I would like the appearance by?
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine.
But no, it's not. That isn't good. I don't think Guardians is good. I know I'm in the minority on that. I hope the Marvels can pull it back because I love Captain Marvel and that seems like it has promise, but they're kind of in their dip right now.
I would like for them to just be like, all right, we're done. Yeah. Like, just wrap up this whole thing.
We'll be gone before they stop. It's not going to happen. Camila, go ahead.
I managed to watch quite a few things. This past couple weeks, I watched the Donna Summer documentary, Love to Love You. A little disappointing. Mm-hmm. It's a fine enough movie, but as documentaries go, I expect a little bit more. Like, it's directed by her daughter, so we kind of...
Oh, what?
Yeah, so it's just kind of like a nice gloss over. And one of my pet peeves about it is that there are no on-camera interviews with anybody. Everything is just a voiceover.
Oh.
Which, why? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
And it was primarily, it's just a bunch of like home movies and archival footage. It's just got like a weird flow to it, like a weird rhythm. And I didn't know a lot about Donna going into this.
Yeah, I know very little about her.
Yeah, so, I mean, it wasn't like, one of my favorite singers or whatever. It was the life she led was interesting and there were interesting things that I found out.
And they keep showing the trailer before every single thing I watch.
Right. And, I was like looking around at other people's reviews online, like some hardcore Donna fans, and apparently like a lot of them were like a little upset by how some things they didn't touch on about like her relationship with the homosexual community. And I guess there was a moment in time where, you know, she was like basically like their unofficial disco queen whatever. Yeah. Just like that was their thing. Like she was their thing. But then she found Jesus later on in her life. And at some point, she publicly said, you know, God made Adam and Eve, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
But she, like, kind of stood by, that's not what she meant by that. That's not what she was trying to do.
Right.
And we spend all this time with her being upset about that, but we never really get into that.
Right.
You know?
Did they spend any time with people being upset about her?
Right,
like, the community that embraced her being upset that she rejected them?
Like, not really, no. And, you know, and I come to find out later when I'm looking online that, you know, she had, like, a friend who was, like, either a choreographer or a songwriter or something who was gay, and he died of AIDS later. And that could have been somebody that they talked about.
Right.
That could have been... You know, during that whole time period. So I don't know. It doesn't leave a lot for, like, if you're a diehard Donna Summer fan, you're probably going to leave lacking. Just like
it sounds like it was like a little superficial.
Yeah, okay. A little bit. And then you kind of get that, like, it's her daughter, and it's like, you know, I don't know. But the documentary that I did find amazing was Still, a Michael J. Fox story. Like, talk about the great way to use existing footage of like film and stuff. My God, whoever edited and directed this one, beautiful. Just like the way they just, as he's telling his life story, they just have all this footage, you know, of like Secret of My Success. And, you know, they just used it like family ties to like illustrate what he was saying. And I was just very much impressed by it. And it was like really heartwarming, heartfelt. Just to watch him tell his story. And, you know, I felt a lot in those 2 hours with him. And I almost burst into tears when the fan thing where he fell over. And I would never, if that had been me, never would have speak of it.
Take it to the grave.
Right.
Absolutely.
Never, ever.
He's one of those people that is so always there, right? That he's just been there our whole lives.
Right.
And is so familiar that when you stop to like look at him and think about him, then you're like, for someone I know so much about and have looked at so much, I just haven't really thought about him.
Right. He's just kind of like you said, he's just there. Then to hear his story about how he came from Canada to do his thing. I always forget that he's Canadian and that he was like, you know, a hair's stone throw away of just like picking up and leaving right before he got, I don't know, family ties.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like almost giving up acting altogether. And then he got that. And that was the big win for. So, yeah, I would suggest that. I watched A Man Called Otto.
How was that?
It was nice. I liked it. I liked it.
Did you see A Man Called... I assume you didn't see A Man Called Ova.
No.
Who?
It's the movie that it's a remake of, which I saw because it was a makeup nominee or something.
No,
yeah.
No.
But that movie was also, like, when I saw that they remade it with Tom Hanks, I'm like, okay.
Yeah,
you know, it's a totally, like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's very Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in this time and, you know, made here in Pittsburgh. And
for something that has nothing to do with Pittsburgh, very Pittsburgh. Yeah. This is a movie that starts with an old man holding up the line at Busy Beaver arguing over the price of rope. I'm like, that's Pittsburgh. And then 5 minutes later, he angrily takes a Turner's tea bottle out of the wrong trash can and puts it in the correct trash can. I'm like, okay, they got it. They did their homework.
Yeah. I don't know if I was supposed to find it as humorous as I found
it. No, it's a comedy.
Just like, the failed attempts over and over again. But it was also a nice deep thinker, and I did tear up a bit. Yeah, it was an all-around good movie. Speaking of movies to watch with your mom or dad.
If the flight were longer, that was going to be my next click.
Dungeons & Dragons. I watched that. The things I will suffer through were Chris Pine. But I liked it much more than I thought it did.
I was going to say, suffer through. Everybody thinks it's fun.
I think before when I decided I did not want to see it, I hadn't seen a trailer, and I didn't realize it was like that Princess Bride vibe.
I see,
Like it was a little more comical, a little more sardonic. So yeah, it was... Definitely, I enjoyed it. I had a really good time with it. And Air, I watched that.
What do you think about Air?
I didn't finish. Like, I fell asleep for the last 15 minutes. But
spoiler, they end up making the Jordans.
Right, surprise! Yeah. It was filled with a lot of cute little facts about the time period and Michael Jordan and Nike that I didn't know about, and also like Converse and Adidas and all that stuff. So if you have any interest in that kind of thing.
I absolutely did not know the thing where they had to have a certain percentage of white on their shoes. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely news to me.
Or I think the most... mind-boggling one was that where the Just Do It slogan comes from was that some guy was about to be executed.
I forgot
those were his last words.
I'm like, okay, yeah, don't need that in my brain, and I'm gonna forget it again right now, and when I edit this episode I will be forgetting it again right after that. Don't need to know it. My father-in-law, when I visited, was like, what'd you think about that sneaker movie? And I was like, which sneaker movie? So that's about that. That's how meaty Air is as a film.
It's funny because I guess we're just doing this whole string of movies about how things like
corporate narratives. Heroes.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Like, so Blackberry is the next on the list, I guess.
Fuck cares?
No, that's out. I keep seeing it like in theater listings. I was like, it already happened? Okay. I guess I've seen a surprising amount of new movies in the last 2 weeks. The Little Mermaid, I was headed to The Little Mermaid from our last recording. Yeah. It's fine. To cap off, there was no compelling reason for it to be 52 minutes longer than the original.
Good grief.
Some of it's good. She's great. Halle Bailey, who I did not realize was of Chloe X Halle.
It took me a long time to figure that out, too. Yeah.
She's great. Melissa McCarthy's good. It looks good, mostly. No explanation at all for why now Flounder, Scuttle, and Sebastian are the only animals that can talk. All the others, just normal animals. Fish, birds, all the others, standard. These three can talk. Why? We're not going to get into it. If you want, like...
What about Flotsam and Jetsam?
No.
What?
Ursula's very attached to them, but they never speak.
Dislike.
Yeah. Yeah. If you feel like seeing it, see it. It will have enough. If you don't bother. Yeah. Have you not seen Fast X yet?
I haven't.
What?
I've been busy.
It's supposed to be.
I'm not Liz Best.
I'm surprised. Yeah,
I know.
I thought that was what she would have been doing for her birthday.
In the sphere of you're in her, you know.
I'm not even, enough. I gotta tell you, I don't even know if Liz LaBaz is seeing it.
Oh boy.
Yes.
Well, I'll wait.
No, I'm definitely gonna go see it. I feel like that's gonna happen this weekend.
It does the things.
Yeah.
It does the fast. It
does the things. Does the fast and furious.
Oh wait, no, it's not gonna happen this weekend because I'm gonna be seeing Spider-Verse. Anyway, sorry.
Get to it when I get to it.
It's impressive the number of like, not twists, but like big reveal moments that I'm like, yeah.
Okay.
Like every time it goes for like the dun dun dun, I'm like, well, yeah, you would do that now.
Yes.
I texted Rob, I'm like, what do you think is going to happen? She said, talking animals. It's there's no going to space. If anything, it's a little more regular than
good
the last
for them.
One.
I think that's appropriate.
I mean, this is relative.
I mean, there's it's only a matter of time until we get the greedy reboot of Fast and Furious where they're back to actually street racing exclusively.
Mm hmm. That'll just be called Fast.
Yeah.
No, it'll just be called F.
F this.
Speaking of movies that don't exist, Hypnotic with Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I keep seeing it pop up on people's Letterboxd and going, what is this?
I want to see it.
It's a real movie in the world. is it good? No. Does it make any sense? Absolutely not. Did I have a great time? Oh, yes. Because it is that late 90s, early aughts, like, we've got a twisty mind bendy. What is reality mystery? Is it all going to add up? No, who cares? We're just going to pick 4 points in the movie and go, but really, it was a the whole time.
The whole time?
It's just, you know, Ben Affleck and some other people. What was her name? We just watched a movie with her. She was in that thing.
I can't remember this movie exists. I can't remember who's in it.
I Am Legend Lady. Alice Braga.
Yes, that one.
They got a mystery and they're going to solve it and it's going to be weird. It's dumb. It's so dumb. And yet I'm so happy I got to go to the movie theater and see it. Good for them. I have no idea how this happened and came out with no marketing, no reviews.
Very little, yeah.
No notice of any kind. And yet here's this Ben Affleck.
I just keep seeing like randomly like little stuff on YouTube, if anything, like a trailer is like, oh, hey, did you know Hypnotic comes out?
No, I didn't.
I truly only know it from its poster. You saying Ben Affleck in it, news to me.
And it's short. It's like 95 minutes long.
Great.
Ah, beautiful.
You know what isn't short, but is very good, is RRR. Finally did it. Saw RRR yesterday.
What is that even about?
It's about how India. George Washington and Abraham Lincoln were best friends. But instead of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln, it's two guys from Indian history.
Okay.
It's an over the top action melodrama about India's independence.
Got it.
And just like pretend history fun.
Okay.
It's a picture.
Like Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter.
Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter, but for India.
Gotcha.
Instead of like
also 4 hours long and extremely goofy.
Instead of the long, slow march to independence, Indian George Washington just drives a truck into apparently the only British consulate that counts, full of tigers and bears.
And then he kicks the tigers in the face.
And he kicks the, and then they go and, oh, it's great. Yeah. It's great. Is it wildly overlong? Yes. Is it like just so melodramatic as to be like, okay, come on. You're getting a little heavy on the crying and the stuff. I don't care.
You're here for it.
The musical numbers are amazing.
Yeah.
It's just a good time. I did see it in the theater. It's at Row House. It will have already left Row House by the time you're hearing this, if you're in Pittsburgh. But people can't stop bringing it back to theaters because it does great.
Wow.
As it turns out, there are many South Asian people in America, and they like going to the movies. Mm-hmm. So if you see it at a theater near you, go see it. You will not regret the significant loss of time in your life.
It's also good on Netflix, even though they don't have the right language. It's still good.
Rojas had the right language.
There you go. I assume that makes it better.
It does. Yes.
The RRR just rawr.
It's not rawr, but at various points it stands for Rise, Roar, Revolt, and
oh, yeah.
The Story, Fire, Water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't worry about it. It's not important. It's Vanilla Sky.
Remember when Paul McCartney did the theme song to Vanilla Sky and it was just some words occasionally ending in the phrase Vanilla Sky?
He clearly
had never seen the film.
I believe in my heart that the title Vanilla Sky, because I don't know if you know this, Cameron Crowe, Vanilla Sky was a working title for Almost Famous. Like, he really just was like, I like this phrase.
It's supposed to be Abre los Ojos.
Right, yes. At one point, they were going to call it Open Your Eyes, and he was like, no, we're calling it Vanilla Sky. But do you remember that pop song Crush?
Just
a little crush. Mm-hmm. In the bridge, she says Vanilla Sky.
That's right.
And I believe in my heart that Cameron Crowe like heard that at a Wendy's and like put it in his notebook and forgot to credit it to whatever her name is.
I will co-sign that.
Yes.
It's, you know, the podcast Song Exploder? People explain. There was an episode with Rivers from Weezer where he revealed that after a certain point, like certainly on all the recent Weezer albums, when it's time for him to write a song, he has a big Google Drive spreadsheet full of interesting phrases he's heard.
Say word, Dilbert, doink to doink. Sorry, Dad. Dinky nuts. Squirrel jam. Hat.
Mm-hmm. And he just goes and picks out 20 of them, and those are the lyrics to the song.
Ooh. Crank up the mids.
Mm-hmm. And it's...
Well played, Rivers.
What? No, there's. I know not everything is going to be Purple Rain, but there should be some point.
Some standard.
To the song you're writing. And then there's one I love.
But there's the beauty of it. Then you get to, it's a choose your own adventure where you get to make up, every listener finds a different meaning.
Yes, that's true.
Let's draw a movie before I. Here's the thing with Weezer. For like 10 years, my brother was like, man, Weezer sucks now. And I'm like, listen, was the whatever the last album was good? I don't know. Maybe it was and maybe it wasn't. How many bands truly have more than three good albums?
Right.
Nobody. Everyone has some that are good and some that are, and you know, and even the bad ones, there's usually a song or two. It's fine. And then Weezer just kept sucking for until I was like, you know what? You're right. I don't care anymore. It's fine.
So if you go back to those old albums, they've got some good songs, but they also got a lot of songs that's just, I'm weird about women.
Mm-hmm.
Blue is the only album that I really fuck with. That's the Say It Ain't So and all that.
Like, yeah. Anyway, they have some good songs.
They have some good songs.
I think that guy's a creep.
He seems like you would be like, oh, let's get a beer, and be itching for an opportunity to get out of that.
Yeah. I wouldn't even get to the first part.
Let's draw a movie. Now, look, one of two things is going to happen. Either this is going to be something that we want to talk about, or it'll be bad, and then we get to our little treat. I teased this last week. In fact, this is one of those things that was out at the same time as Madagascar 2. It landed on WALL-E. We would be watching WALL-E.
Okay.
Because you started, you know, the very interesting, I think, conversation.
Oh, I mean,
film.
All we could talk about Fat Phobia for an hour.
Yeah.
I will also recommend if you, it's a patron episode, but there's a good maintenance phase breakdown of the Fat Phobia in WALL-E, but you'd have to give them $3 to listen to it. But they will earn your $3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's on Disney. Okay.
I think I've only seen
not
it.
Not excited about it.
I think I've
only seen it once.
Yeah, I only saw it in the theater.
I think I watched when Disney Plus first came out. I believe I watched the first half hour. Why would you ever watch more than that?
Yeah. No, I mean, that. I remember that part is great. Yes. I remember that part is great, and I know that the rest of it, I don't remember the problematic part of it well enough to talk about it right now.
Yes, but we'll talk about it in 2 weeks.
I do remember thinking, like, why did the movie change to a different movie very suddenly after 40 minutes? So, WALL-E. It's either a beloved classic or a movie you have big problems with.
Or yes.
Or both.
Yes.
It can be both. Before we visit with those little robots. Robots are nicer when they're small. Everyone likes a small robot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the number one song in America? January 14th, 2011. The tens were truly dawning.
Black Eyed Peas.
No. What'd you say?
Adele.
No.
Britney.
No.
Rihanna.
No. They were trading back and forth, this song and another song, all through the early part of the year. I'll tell you the one that it's not. It was going back and forth between the song we are looking for and Grenade by Bruno Mars. So put yourself in hearing that on the radio. And what's playing next?
What is it? Stereo? Adam Levine and what is it? Jukebox? I don't remember.
Maroon 5?
Whatever it is,
no,
it's not that.
Yeah, it was like Adam Levine with like Stereo somebody.
Hearts, that one.
Yeah, Stereo Hearts, but the band was maybe.
Right.
Well, Grenade by Bruno Mars has certainly been performed.
Coldplay?
At a Super Bowl halftime show. So has the song we're looking for.
Coldplay?
No.
Beyonce?
No. The headlines on this Super Bowl halftime show were not about the actual performance. Well, I guess they were about the actual performance.
Are we talking about Justin Timberlake?
No.
Okay.
They were about the next day, all anybody could talk about was
Left Shark.
Was Left Shark.
So Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday Night?
No.
Who?
Firework?
Yes.
Okay.
Katy Perry. Don't you remember? She did the Super Bowl halftime show, and all anyone could talk about was at one point she's doing California Girls, and there's people with beach balls, and there's two dancing sharks, and one dancing shark knows the choreography, and the other one just looks like they wandered in off the street and is just kind of, And then when I went to that Super Bowl halftime show exhibit at the Rock Hall, they had Left Shark, and it was like I was meeting a celebrity. Look at Left Shark!
I think all the time about how did Right Shark feel about that whole incident?
I mean, right?
I showed up and I did my job.
Right? Upstaged by a fucking slack ass.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sure PeopleMagazine.com, not the print version, had Right Shark Speaks!
Number one.